Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for June the 12th, 2014. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Springer? Gallagher?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is the responsibility of the board to interpret the city's zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question and usually comes to make a decision at the meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the May 8th meeting?
So moved.
Second. Roll call, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes. We have two cases tonight which we'll hold public hearings on. Case number 14-044 at 3460 Oakry Lane. It's a request for a variance to allow a six-foot-high fence in a required front yard submitted by Mary Nelson. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
The site is located on the northwest corner of Devil's Glen Road and Oakry Lane, and it is the site that is outlined in yellow in the display before you. The applicant is here this evening. She would like to place a fence along the Devil's Glen Road side of her property. Directly across the street from this property, she wants to put up a six-foot fence, not an eight-foot fence. In 2007, the board approved an eight-foot fence on the property directly across the street that is outlined in purple. This would be the approximate location of the fence if approved. It would occupy approximately the north 100 feet of the property line adjacent to Devil's Glen Road. The paramount issue for staff in this case is the petroleum pipeline that is located in this 40-foot easement that I'm outlining for you right now. And in fact, staff instructed the applicant that we would not even proceed to the Board of Adjustment until they'd made proper contact with the pipeline company, Magellan, and gotten permission from them. They have received a easement waiver from the pipeline. I've been assured by the pipeline staff that they will have staff members on site for the installation of the fence the entirety of the time that the project is going on. They will specifically tell the applicant where the holes can be drilled for the fence posts. So that will all be supervised. This will possibly be the approximate location of the fence if it is approved. Again, that will all be determined by the pipeline staff on site with their equipment that they use to locate the pipeline, and they will determine where is the best, safest place for the fence to be placed. That's occurred all over town. We have fences along this pipeline easement all over town, and every one of them are handled exactly the same. The pipeline company comes on site and specifically supervises the installation of the fence. The only issue under consideration is whether this would be a 4-foot high fence or a 6-foot high fence. 4-foot high fence are allowed in front yard setbacks, and again, it won't be the applicant who determines where that location will be. It will be the pipeline company. So it's only going to be, the question here is whether she can have a 4-foot fence or a 6-foot fence. In the past, especially along Devil's Glen Road, the board has approved numerous 6-foot fences for various reasons, due to the high traffic volume, the large roadway, bicycle paths that are in the close proximity to this area here. And this request is in keeping with some of the past approvals that have occurred, including the one directly across the street. I believe that summarizes the issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is this, what type of a fence would this be? Do you know?
Be a wooden privacy?
Yes.
Wooden privacy fence.
A who?
a wooden privacy fence.
Okay. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Go ahead, Mary. If you go back to the podium, please, state your name and address for the record.
Mary Nelson, 3460 Oakery Lane. I just wanted to say that Magellan has been out and walked the property with me, and they're very comfortable with the location of the fence and proximity to the pipeline, simply because the entire area of the fence will be at least 3 feet away from the pipeline, which is why they gave me the waiver. I've been there for 2 years, and the neighbors that have been there for over 20 years told me that the previous owners had tried to block sound with plant material, but because of the high traffic volume, most of the plant material ends up dying and has to be replaced over and over again. And in the 2 years that I've been there, I've had to replace a lot of plant materials too. It's just, it's heat, it's fumes, and part of it is also the slope of for the drainage there as well. One thing I also wanted to mention was the north 5 feet of the proposed fence. I talked to the city engineer and agreed that the first 5 feet would be left open to gain access to the drainage easement in the ravine. So, right.
Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it.
Is any of this property where the fence would go on city right-of-way, or is it all easement for the pipeline?
It will not be on city right-of-way.
Okay, and it's an easement, on the easement for the pipeline?
Yes, sir.
And do we have any six-foot fences or any fences on next to a sidewalk as this is proposed?
Yes, quite a few of them along Devil's Glen Road, Tanglefoot Road. You've been receptive to them along these four-lane roadways and some of the roadways that have the recreational trails on them.
Is there a foot setback or something, John, in case the sidewalk would ever be replaced?
It is very typical that the property line is actually 1 foot back of the public sidewalk. That's very common throughout the city. So that's probably going to be the case, at least.
Okay. Does anyone here have a question for Mrs. Nelson?
The only question I have is probably really for staff. The 5 foot opening that she mentioned to accommodate the drainage easement, was that made part of the application? I didn't notice if it was.
You could make any approval, if you so choose to do this evening, conditional upon that, and then that will be part of the record.
So I just want to know if it isn't part of this, then we do have to make a conditional on that.
No, the easement is ours. Engineering, I'm sure you spoke to somebody in engineering, is what this sounds like to me.
Mr.
And
Freeze.
The engineering department will not allow, they'll tell her where that fence can go and where the opening has to
so
be.
So she won't get a permit to put that fence in a,
correct.
In across that. So we don't really need to deal with it then. Okay.
The property across the street, the fence is set back in.
Yes, it is.
It's several feet. No, just
and so. And again, that's determined by the pipeline. The pipeline goes on site, sees where the fence is in relationship to the pipeline, and they start pointing out, if you want to drill a hole, it's only going to be here, here, and here.
So in essence, they could say this could be on the western side of that current line.
They will be the final determining factor.
And who's going to determine the height, the final height?
You.
We are. That's our job.
You will make the decision whether it could be 4 or 6 foot.
Is there anything else? Anybody have any other questions?
The bushes there looks like they're kind of overhanging some of the sidewalk. So I guess as long as they're aware of the property line isn't right at the sidewalk, because I don't know that anybody from the city is actually going to be there. So I'd hate to have.
I believe we
have to take it out.
You're absolutely right. Usually when fence installations are going on, city staff is not there.
Mm-hmm.
when we have this petroleum pipeline issue, I believe we're going to make that a contingency, that city staff will be there as well.
And typically, I periodically trim that, the shrubbery back. I haven't done it yet pending this decision.
Just wanted to get that out there. I hate to see you put it in and then not realize that it needs to be a foot back.
Yep.
When
bushes are going to have to be trimmed back to.
I'll be the one that issues the permit, and I'll make that contingent that staff will be on site.
Just verification. We've been usually allowing the 6-foot fence right up to the property line in these instances, right? I should remember, but.
You have for through lots and corner lots. Mm-hmm. And this is a corner lot. So yes, this is one of the conditions where you've been consistently allowing them in the past.
Because otherwise, by ordinance, isn't it 10 feet?
By ordinance, they can go right up to the property line with a 4-foot high fence.
For a side yard, or a front yard.
And then that would have to go back to the building line of the house to get up to 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. Probably 25 foot back, maybe 30 foot back from property line before it would be able to bump up to 6 foot. We recognize the fact that although the code recognizes these as front yards, a lot of people, everybody else would consider that to be a side yard.
Yeah, definitely.
Any other questions from anyone?
Nope.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I move we allow variance to allow 6-foot high fence in a required front yard at 3460 Oakery Lane, case number 14-044.
Second.
There's a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Wilder?
Yes. Case number 14-044 at 3460 Oakery Lane has been approved. Case 14-045 at 999 Middle Road, C2 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required sign setback from 20 feet to 10 feet to increase the height of the premise identification sign from 20 feet to 52 feet to increase the allowable size of an on-premise identification sign from 125 square feet to 344 square feet, and to increase the allowable size of the electronic programmable portion of an on-premise identification sign from 50 square feet to 150 square feet, submitted by Acme Sign Company. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the site of the former BP gas station, which is currently being rebuilt and the entire lot is being reconfigured. This whole area is currently being redeveloped. We're having a new hotel placed in adjacent to this facility. We're getting the new service station placed in, and we're having two retail buildings also under construction. All that's under construction at the same time now at the main, directly across from the main entrance to Duck Creek Plaza. This involves the corner lot with the gas station. You can see the current location for the sign that was used for the station that was just torn down. That sign is grandfathered in. Its height is grandfathered in, its square footage is grandfathered in, and its location is grandfathered in. So they could, without any variances whatsoever, reface, reconfigure that in its same location, height, and square footage. They're asking to make alterations to that sign, as specified by the chairman when he read the specifics of the case. Staff estimates the current sign to be approximately 35 to 40 feet high. I went back even through our archived files. We do not have the original permit for the sign that was before, well before things were being entered into our current system. I also approximate that the current sign has about 120 square feet. So that's a good comparison as to what is there, 30 to 40 feet height. Now they're asking for 52, and approximately 120 square feet now, and they're asking for the 350 plus. This is the actual configuration that they would like to place on top of the current pole at 52 feet high, increasing the height, the square footage, and the allowable electronic programmable square footage. So to break down some of the issues we're talking about here, for height, currently we're somewhere around 35 to 40, and we're going up to 52.
So in essence, 12 feet more than the current.
Approximately.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Square footage, approximately 120 right now, and they'd like to go to 344. The setback will be exactly the same setback as it is today. They're using the same pole at the same location. And then the last issue is the bottom portion of the sign, the electronic programmable portion. 150 square feet is what they're asking for. It would, that portion would be 10 feet by 15 feet. So there are the four issues that I've just gone over here. I'll address each one of them briefly here. The setback, that sign has been at that current setback for decades. There have been no issues or complaints that staff could research on this. The setback intent is still being met, even if it's put at that small 10-foot setback. It's going to be 57 feet back from Middle Road, 87 feet back from the on-ramp to I-74, and the closest portion of the paved portion of I-74 to the sign is over 200 feet away. The height. The board has made a distinction for interstate commerce type activities that are along the interstate systems throughout Bettendorf. By interstate commerce, we're talking about hotels, service stations, entertainment venues, emergency medical facilities, things like that, where people on the interstate system are trying to locate one of those types of businesses traveling at a interstate speed so that the sign is high enough and large enough that they can see, recognize the business, and react to it before they have to exit the interstate system. This business certainly meets that criteria as being interstate-oriented type business, located immediately adjacent to the interstate system. The board has been very consistent about allowing considerably more height for these interstate type business signs. I'm thinking of Old Chicago at I-74 and Spruce Hills. Directly across from that is a service station that also has, I believe that's Lund's. And directly across the street from that is the U-Haul business, all interstate type associated businesses, and they all have these larger signs. Many of those up at that intersection are at the 60-foot level. This is the view of the current signs at this location. Again, I told you there's a lot of businesses here that are undergoing reconstruction. The hotel sign is the first sign in the foreground, and in the background is the gas station, the sign that is under your review. Both of them are visible from the interstate as they currently exist right now, as you can see. This is westbound or as I consider it, north on Interstate 74. If you're going eastbound, or as I consider it, south, you will be even closer to these signs and it has even more visibility. Square footage. As I said in the report, that's probably the most subjective portion of this request. What is big enough to accomplish being able to be identified on an interstate system at cars traveling at interstate speeds soon enough that you can react to it and exit the interstate? There are three aspects to their sign that they're advertising. The name of the business, Big Ten Mart. Their brand, British Petroleum, and their prices. So the three things that are being addressed by the sign is the name of the business, the brand, and the price. Can all of that fit into this? I believe that the applicants are going to tell you that it can't.
It cannot.
So that's going to be their charge to you this evening. This portion of the sign right here is 195 square feet. It contains the name of the business, the brand, and the ability to display the price. All of those three things are key to this type of a business. The 150 square foot programmable portion is an addition to that. So I believe that they are going to explain to you why they feel that that is necessary in addition to the top 195 square feet. The electronic programmable is the last issue. As we all know, that is the one type of sign that has generated the most complaints to staff, more than all other signs combined in the short amount of time that we've allowed them in the community. I can tell you that a vast majority of those complaints and those problems are due to the out-of-town sign companies that sell these signs. Local contractors come in, put the signs up, install them, and then after they're installed, the out-of-town sign company comes in and programs their sign to do the neatest stuff it can do with the brightest brightness that it can go, because they want to show them everything that that sign can do. All of those things are against our city ordinance. Before they ever came to you this evening, the owner of this business signed an acknowledgement form stating that he knows what the rules are pertaining to these signs, and some of them are it can't change copy at a rate faster than once every 6 seconds. There's a standard for daytime brightness and nighttime brightness. It has to meet those standards and do so automatically. Flashing is not allowed, animation is not allowed, and video is not allowed. They've signed an acknowledgement form stating that they will abide by all of those, and staff will make sure that whatever your decision here this evening, will make sure that the sign is operated in accordance to the city ordinance. If you were to cross I-80 and travel about 6 miles into Illinois, there's a sign very much like what is being requested this evening. Some of the things you're seeing here are allowed by our ordinance, and some of the things you're seeing here would not be allowed by the ordinance. The copy change seems to be about right, once every 6 seconds. The scrolling is allowed, but this last portion, the animation is not allowed. So that gives you somewhat of an idea of what that portion of the sign is capable of doing if allowed. Now, I know there's quite a few issues here we've run across, and I believe I've at least given you a Reader's Digest version of each of those. I believe that does summarize the request before you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? You want to go back and state your name and address, please?
Mark Mullo, 123 Southern Avenue, Dubuque, Iowa. We've been operating down in the Quad Cities since Larry Darnell and my dad met each other at different petroleum shows. So that's probably mid-70s, late-70s. And so we've tried to be a good community citizen, whether it's Bettendorf or Davenport or Moline, East Moline, through an acquisition with Quint Cities. We ended up with this purchasing this property and have sat on it until we knew what was really going to be going on in that whole development area and when it was going to take place. That obviously is happening. The other owners in that property had talked to us about if we were going to do something, and the city likewise, and it was definitely the time to do something. So we are, and we're spending a lot of our own money to do that. I mean, it's all we're not having any help come along, and it's one of the things that we really would need is to be able to advertise this large investment that we're putting in here. Going forward, Brian Matlock, who runs our operation, has some pictures of what the store is going to look like, and you can drive by it and see that it's coming. Brian, if you want to just show those. I don't know how they, or you can just display it. That'd be great. We've spent a lot of obviously time and effort to pull this plan together. When we do something, we do a nice location, 53rd and Pine. We have a location we fully remodeled. We have one over on 53rd and Corporate Drive that we've fully remodeled on an existing location. This was a complete, to the point, I think when the store was built was when the sign was put in, and it needed 100% of everything. New tanks in the ground, new store completely readjusted where it needs to be. So we're definitely all in on this, but also would like to be able to advertise where we're at and why we have it. I'm not sure the next step, if you want to, I can to give an idea on the sign that we're requesting. Maybe I'll start there. The one that's coming for our neighbors is about 375 square feet. So we're significantly smaller, but the part of the difference, and I have some other pictures here to show you of the drive coming south. We don't, our building will be truly dwarfed by the hotel that's going there that you don't see yet. And we were able to show you some of that sizing on these pictures, and I don't know if you want to put them up, or I don't know if we can do it on the screen so much. This is I'm not sure how we're doing.
We'll see what we can get for you.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna run through it.
run through it two ways. This is just as you drive today. This is the same location blown up. And this is the current sign for the hotel. This is our sign. Now, the key piece here is over in the corner. It says Bush on top of it. That sign is currently on the hotel building. I'll show you the hotel diagrams that we have. There is at least 2.5 more stories of hotel that go on top of this sign in their building. I didn't know that's the picture I was taking when I took it, but it does start giving you some size of how big yet their facility is going to be, and which is great. We're very glad to be there, but I don't want to get lost in the shuffle with my investment either. Here's about a tenth of a mile closer. Again, you can't see our location, and you can't see the sign for the hotel either. To give you a reference point, that's about here. That's about where we're at, is this tower. Same location, or mile 3.4. This is a blow up. Again, there's our reference point, that tower. You still can't see how you're trying to get off the CR facility. We're a little closer here. The guardrail is starting, which is right prior to the bridge. Here's our reference point of that tower. This is what you see at regular view. This is a blow up of that same view. You can barely see the hotel. This is a real blow up of that same view. There's the hotel. Here's our sign. I'm starting on the bridge. Again, you can't see the location. These trees are in the way, so I mean, which is fine, but it still blocks the traveler's view of need. A little further across the bridge. I'm hoping that's coming out. Yep. A little further across the bridge. Same thing. You still, here's the exit starting to show up, right here. At this point, I'm actually on the exit. There's our sign at the current level. I mean, you got to know you're turning here and almost be there before. Now, and part of the reason is because we're set back where the hotel sign is closer to the highway. On our height, we're talking about how tall we want the sign. Our request, just so you're clear, is to match their elevation. We may have a longer pole because we're sitting in a somewhat of a dip compared to where the hotel sign is. Our request is not to come above their line. We're just trying to get whatever the elevation is. That's our request as far as the height of this sign. Here's that exit ramp again, just showing where we're at. Again, we're kind of tucked back in, I guess, really behind these trees, and here's this sign for the hotel. At this point, you can really see us. But you've made your exit. You're off the interstate here, as you can tell by where we're at positioned on the roadway. This is what we have received from the Hilton Garden Inn. This is what it's going to look like. The Bush sign that I showed you earlier is right about here. So, like I said, there's at least 2 to 2.5 more stories of hotel that go on top of that Bush sign, which is, again, the presence of the location. It's great. It's a gorgeous facility. We're proud to be next to it, but I also don't want to get lost in the shadow of it either. So now what I did, the same view, to give you an idea, in the yellow, that's what roughly the hotel's going to look like. You're going to see that before you see much of the signage. And again, I'll go back to the hotel. On the top of the hotel, it says Hilton Garden. I mean, even though you have the roadway sign on the very top, you're going to see Hilton Garden on the very top of this facility as you're coming down the road. This is a regular eye view in the yellow. Same location with the blown up view of how to give a proportionate of what that hotel is going to look like. Here's the Bush sign again. So they're going to be, again, I'm not a technical drawing, but that's supposed to represent 2 more levels of hotel on top of this Bush sign. Basically going through all those same mile markers. This again, we're on the exit. Here's the roadway right through here. This is that exit. The yellow is representing the hotel behind us, and you know, we're really kind of minuscule compared to the facility they're putting up. It is a very grand, good-looking facility. So we just want to be noticed, and we're having a good investment in here too, and want to be able to advertise where our investment is. We advertise our name, the brand that we're carrying, the price of the fuel, but in today's world also, we also advertise the sandwich you're going to come in and buy, the candy bar that you're going to come in and buy. We're not just gas and go anymore. We sell an awful lot of food, and that's part of the changing. It's not just the price of gasoline. We're glad when you come in and buy gasoline, but we also like you to come in and buy Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi and get a sandwich and some chips, or coffee. Those are every bit as important, especially in the morning. If somebody's going to work, they want to have an eye opener. We supply that. This yellow again gives you an idea of the size of this hotel behind us. Here's another proportion. This yellow down here on the bottom, that's the first floor of the hotel. That's there today. You drive by it, you can see it. This is the top of our store, this red. There's 4 more stories that go on top of this yellow. Just to give you, again, a proportionate size of what is going to be here. This is the final here's that yellow that's there today, and four more stories go on top of it. That would be here. So all we're trying to do is match this sign height with this sign, and you've seen the drawing that we have advertising our facility. I'll go see what else we've got. I want to finish that list going down through.
One of the concerns that we were hearing before this meeting, and now we've heard it here, is the intensity of the light at our sign. Acme Sign, they're installing it. We're having them handle it. You know, standing here, I'll commit. That's all I have is my word and what I've written down. But whatever the city regulations are, the intensity level is kind of new to me as far as how you regulate it and make sure it's what the city requires and we're not over the city amount. But that's my commitment that's what we'll do. Between Doug and whoever at the city is going to judge that, we fully agree to that. I think that's, you know, we've added quite a bit to the tax base of what was there. Again, trying to be a good citizen and doing this with all of our own funds and with making this kind of investment. This is a place that we want people to stop into, and this is how, in today's world, kind of that happens, I guess, that we're trying to fit in, be a good citizen. Obviously, we're in business to get a return on our investment, and this is a place where we're asking that we could have that help from the city to enable us to do that. And that's the information I have. If there's any other questions I can answer, be free to do it. Any real detail of the question as far as structure or design, probably Doug can answer.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor or objection to this request?
Hi, I'm Doug Jarvis with Acme Sign, 1504 West 4th Street, Davenport, Iowa. And I can give a little bit of history. This whole area is going through a change just like it did in the late 60s. I worked at a city service station that's kind of where Ross's parking lot is now. And when 74 got put in, that's when the pre-existing mobile station got put in on up at Middle Road because the new highway was coming through. Now we're going through another change with the bridge changing again and that new type of operation. One of the things that Mark failed to say was they were out at visiting site, which they visit quite often, and Hodge Construction, I believe, had a transit, and they shot the height of the existing sign and compared it to the height of the Holiday Inn sign, and the Holiday Inn sign is about 12 foot higher than what the existing BP sign is. The existing BP sign is actually about 11 foot 6 by 11 foot 6, so it's a little bit bigger than 120 square feet. And we measured it, we measured the pipe, and we measured the overall height. And John was real close, but it's about 41 foot 6 currently to the top of that. And part of the difference in the elevation in the two is when you're coming from the south or from I call it south, and you're going west or north or whatever, is that the elevations are different there, and they would like to get the sign up a little bit higher to sort of match elevation with the hotel sign, which is going, which I believe is going to stay the same. It's the same elevation that it is, and they're going to use the pipe over. I believe it's Doug Ricks with the Iowa DOT. He did not have a problem with the sign raising up, or he did not have a problem with it having an electronic message sign of that size. One of the things is if the message sign was downsized, you'll end up with something that basically isn't useful at that height, at that speed. And that's the main reason that they're taking a look at that size of what they want to do. They were afraid at something smaller, or they would not be able to get a picture or words that would be large enough that would be readable to somebody going 65 miles an hour at 40 feet up in the air.
Thank you.
Brian Matlock, 2525 Victoria Place, Dubuque. I handle all the retail operations and marketing for Mr. Molo and Big Ten Marts. And I just wanted to share with you guys a little bit about some insight, what's going on with the industry, and why we're wanting to do this sign. It used to be, going back even 10 and 15 years ago, fuel paid the bills, and obviously there were profits to be had as well. The industry for convenience stores has changed. And what I mean by that is that, you know, fuel alone doesn't do it. We operate on very, very slim fuel margins. Obviously, with the price of gas and what's happening, you would think that we would be making a lot of money in fuel. That's just absolutely not the case anymore. The future of the industry for convenience stores isn't fuel, it's food and beverage. And so we not only have to display fuel, but we as a company, as a business, need to be able to show consumers our other offerings to help them come inside. And I know we briefly showed you all the inside format of the convenience store that we're building. I can tell you, I come from about 20 years of experience building food and beverage programs for convenience stores. And in state-of-the-art, top quartile companies throughout the United States. And Mark Molo has brought me on board to help make some transformational changes to the business to help Big Ten Marts really change our business model and focus on food and beverage. I mean, our sites of the future, you may think of it like, you're a gas station that sells food. What we're going to be, and this format that we're putting in play, is a limited labor food and beverage model. So about half of the store is going to be dedicated towards food and beverage, okay? Our sites we want to build in the future, it could be as much as 60 to 70% of the store is going to be dedicated towards food and beverage, okay? And so I just wanted to make sure you all understood that. And that's why we're wanting to show that board, to be able to show consumers the change that we're making with food and beverage items, and that to bring them in to actually to visit our stores, because if we don't, that business model of just selling fuel, that doesn't work anymore. And so we need to really tap into that, and that's why we're looking to do it. The other piece too is that Mark and I, we spent a lot of time designing this. And one of the things that we really looked at very, very closely was, how do we fill the need of what consumers want in the area? And also at the same time, how do we get better integrated with the community? And one of the things that we came up with was this board to be able to do that, to be able to share even town messaging, where we could actually display welcome to Bettendorf, whether it's highlights of the local high school football team, things like that. And I'm the one that's going to be putting content on this board. So I'm the one that if there is somebody that needs to be called, I can tell you, we've signed the paper saying how we're going to operate this sign. We're honorable people, and we will live up to that 100%. And I'm the person that's going to be designing the content, so if there's an issue, you can call me personally. And I'd be happy to leave my home phone number or my cell phone as well. But again, our intent is to use this sign to be able to make customers aware of new products and innovative food and beverage products that we plan on selling in our stores. So, again, thank you.
How big are the letters that are going to be on this sign so that people can read them? How far would it be, the size of the letter and so forth?
Now you're going to be hard on me because I'm ill-prepared on there, but I know that you can at least get up to 3 foot high with the letters. There's a wide range of sizes, the wide range of sizes that you can put up there. The gasoline price sign actually is a little bit on the small sign, and the gasoline price digits that are up there are 2 foot high that you can see on the price sign there. So we'd end up being a little bit bigger than the 2 foot high. You could do two lines of 2 foot, 2 foot to 30 inch high letters on there.
Changing the print every 6 seconds. Do people have time to read that from a distance or before they're looking for the next one? And has it ever caused a conflict in traffic?
The standard has been on billboards and on things that are on the interstate and like I-80 truck stop, and that is usually in the 6 to 8 second range. However, if you go down the street, you can actually at 30, 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, a second seems like an eternity. So with 6 seconds, you don't have to stare constantly over there to get the message. You have the time to keep your hands on the wheel and watch where you're going and still get the message. You have a big enough time frame for that.
Thank you. Does anyone here have a question of the gentleman while they're up there? Okay.
Well, I need some data again because I didn't quite write all of it down. Just for my own comparison purposes, how big is the current sign that's shown there for the hotel? What was the square footage on that?
I don't know what the current square footage is.
He said earlier.
I think John had that, didn't he?
The one that is going to be installed is 374 square feet.
That's what their new sign is?
That's what their new one is. I don't have the measurement on their existing one.
And that would require a variance.
Okay. But they haven't come forward for that.
No, they haven't come forward for that.
Is the current sign that's out there for the hotel, did that require a variance? You know, the one that's up there now, way back when?
I believe we researched that and couldn't find one for that either.
Okay.
I don't know that with 100% certainty. Mm-hmm. That's certainly not over 300 square foot, what's there currently.
Well, yeah, because what is the current station sign that you're replacing?
That's 11 foot 6 by 11 foot 6, so that's...
So this would be 4.5 feet.
11 by 12, roughly.
Roughly wider.
Yeah.
I guess...
132 and a quarter.
Can I interrupt you while you're...
Go ahead.
Yeah. I have all sorts of thoughts.
Go ahead.
Have we had the messaging signs? I don't recall having any of those anywhere along the I-74 corridor in Bettendorf. Is that right?
That's correct.
Do they have any in Davenport along the I-74 corridor? Is there an ordinance?
No. Mr. Jarvis indicated that he had spoken to DOT Representative Doug Rick. I have as well, and I also spoke to an official in Des Moines who is in charge of their mm-hmm. department that regulates signage along the interstate system. They do allow it. Mm-hmm. I sent them the entire packet that you were given by me, and they had no objection to it.
Where I'm leading with it is, you know, I know the DOT generally has these kinds of signs because you see them all up and down I-80.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see them in this particular corridor through this community regularly that I can think of.
I can't think of one. I can't think of one on the Illinois side either.
And so I'm going to throw out there a certain level of discomfort with allowing this. Because if we allow that, a type of a sign there, are we not giving a tacit, setting a precedent that's really, that really should be a revision to the ordinance, the sign ordinance? So the, that I wanted to throw that out there right now, because this would be the first of its kind that I know of, and should that not, since that's going forward, should that not be something that goes through the normal planning and zoning and city council and how whatever our ordinance is? Because once we do it, once we say yes, it's a done deal.
I see what you're saying. This is,
we're amending
tantamount to an ordinance change, because of the precedence you set on this will be followed throughout the corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we just redefined what the LED portion
right.
on court.
We've basically altered the ordinance here, and that's not our purview in this board. That would be overstepping certain bounds, in my opinion.
Well, you handle each case individually,
right?
Based on the merits.
Yeah.
They've come before you and they said that there's, to be fair, in my report, mm-hmm. I indicated that this portion of the sign met three purposes: identifying the name of the business, identifying the brand, and identifying the price. I further said in my report, I don't know what function the bottom portion is going to perform. I believe they explained that here this evening. I think that is something that I, as staff, did not consider, that in the convenience store business, the gas is only a small part of that, perhaps. So this portion has a purpose for that particular type of a business.
Now,
does the hotel need the same thing?
What's going to happen is the hotel, then, do they want a similar sign giving their current rates or, things like that that change? And then, I don't know where our city limits end, but if Starbucks in there too, in our city limits, that's all within our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So are they going to want the similar thing? So what I'm seeing, I guess my discomfort is with seeming to set a precedent that, that feels more like an ordinance change. Because, once we do it, then when the hotel comes to us and says, well, we want a variance to allow this sign, we don't have any, we don't really have any way to not allow it. And
well, if I may,
mm-hmm.
it is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's under consideration is, can they go from 50 to 100 or 50 square feet? The LED is allowed.
Okay.
So they could cut it down to 50 square foot.
They could come down to their, we've currently allowed them to be at 150 square feet. That's what the existing sign.
So requesting.
So they can do whatever they want, really, within that 150 square feet. Or if we allow 195 square feet, they can do anything they want within that total sign square footage.
No.
So
no, you
could
specify.
What I'm asking,
you could
specify. They don't need a variance for this message board.
Correct. They do not need a variance for an electronic programmable.
Okay.
They need a variance for a 150 foot portion of a sign being electronic programmable.
Mm-hmm. When we allow the signs, their identification signs, they've done those, they've fulfilled those three criteria that you spoke of: the brand, the name of the business, and the prices.
Yes.
So is it allowed? Where am I going with this? Why would we need to allow any additional sign square footage for any additional use? I'm trying to see where our ordinance lies.
His argument is there's more to this business than those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the convenience store, and that the convenience store is a major portion of this business, and this portion of the sign does not address that.
Go ahead.
I guess to a certain extent, I would beg to differ with you that the term Big Ten Mart, to me, Mart, the word Mart speaks to convenience.
Okay.
And the BP logo is pretty well internationally known as gas.
Yes.
So I do think it speaks to that. From my point of view, the question that I had for staff was, and we did get to that a little bit. I guess what I worry about is starting sign wars in our corridor. And I guess what I don't understand is where the limits are. Because I thought I heard two things from the applicants. One was the sign is going to be 375 square feet or 370 some square feet. And then on the other hand, I heard that they were going to use, as far as they knew, they were going to use the same sign they have up there, which isn't that large. So I don't know if we're talking about 375 square feet as the sign on the building. Is that the differentiation?
The hotel,
right,
sign that's being proposed to come and stamped to be installed, that's 374 square feet. That's the hotel, the Starbucks, which is a different offering, and they have some open spots, but that's 374 square feet. The sign we're requesting is 345, so we're considerably smaller. With this design, we have it all under one roof. And the coffee place needed a place to advertise, the hotel needs a place to advertise. We don't have a hotel, we have gasoline and need to advertise the gasoline, but we also sell coffee, we also sell food and need a place for that to advertise.
Well, I think that's where I was confused, is
okay,
which signs you were actually talking about.
Okay, you
said the hotel sign. To me, that I'm looking at a hotel sign up here that's a two-piece hotel sign, mm-hmm, and which wasn't that big. You're talking about the other sign that's over in front of the strip center then.
No. That black.
You're talking about this one?
That one right there, that new pole, will have 374 square feet of signage. Right.
Not without a variance, it won't.
Well,
it has not come before.
I'm just, this, all I have is their drawing. I'm not trying to sell or.
Well, that's my question is it said someone said they thought they were going to use the existing sign, and then I heard 375 square feet. Well, to me, those things are in conflict.
So that means
they haven't applied for a variance on a bigger sign than that.
I think it's the existing pole. Maybe that's the, like, we can use our existing pole and our existing base.
Well, I think you can use, without anything, you can use your existing sign and pole right now where it is, right? And just reconfigure it however you want within those parameters without any variance from us.
Absolutely. It's been grandfathered in.
Okay, and that's fine.
It has not been if it's non-usage for 2 years, it goes away. Well, they just took it down while they're doing the construction so it doesn't get damaged.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not considered removal.
I guess, so back to my original question, which was, If we were to allow everything they've applied for here tonight, and that reaches the height of the pole of the sign that's there for the hotel now, what are we asking for from the hotel? You know, now I don't know if they have a number here for something that they have reason to believe is going to be proposed, and that's great. We haven't seen it. We don't know, and I don't know if we know how high that they're going to want that. So are we pushing, letting one go up to match one, and then the other one behind it just wants to raise even higher?
The drawing I have, it doesn't.
Okay, but see, we have nothing, and so we don't know any of these things. And my concern is that somewhat similar to what the point you're making, which is, are we starting a war here? With signage, you know, higher, bigger, whatever.
The one thing that was brought up by John before was the signs at Spruce Hills in 74, which are at the 60-foot overall height. So it's, you know, it's not a war with that. Big Ten wasn't looking to go up to 60 feet. They felt that another 12 foot would help get them the visibility. Now, some of the questions about signage in the corridor, I think out at Northwest Boulevard and I-80, I believe Flying J and Love's Truck Stop have message signs, you know, which is in Davenport city limits. Now, I know that Bettendorf is not for billboards or that type of thing, but Davenport has on Highway 61 has 14 by 48 LED billboards that advertise off-premise products. What we have here is somebody that's got a piece of property, they have a business, and they're trying to sell products in Bettendorf. They're advertising what they're selling at the location. And I know that they talked about margins. They have talked about margins. I deal with a number of different gas stations and people that own convenience stores, and you would not believe that I hear about pennies and I hear about quarter of pennies. And a quarter of a penny on a gallon of gas, when you sell enough gas, that's where you make your money. Their margin on the gasoline is real small, and everybody complained at first when Pay at the Pump came out, because here it was, their customers, they wanted to come into the store, were doing the credit card out at the pump and not coming in, and that's where they were paying for their property and making their business.
One of the, I think it's there in the initial presentation, it was described that this sign went in sometime in the 60s, probably maybe mid late 60s. As a prime example of what's going on in our industry, in a correlation to what happens in our industry, this is the way it is going, or this is the way the industry is going, and hopefully we've tried to explain why. But a perfect example of that is what's going on right outside. A lot of those cars are from the 60s. Anybody going to buy that to be their daily, all-day car? And look what has happened to the automobile since the 60s. If this sign was okay in the 60s, it was okay in the 60s. But our industry has changed too, just like the automobile industry has changed. And this is the right or wrong or good or bad, this is the direction that the industry is going. We're just trying to keep up with it. We're not a Casey's. We're not a Quick Trip out of La Crosse that have 400, 500, 600, 1,000 stores. But for us to compete against companies like that, this is what we need to do. And this is the direction we have to have that food. We have to have advertising for that inside sale. And I don't know how else to explain it other than maybe the example of the old cars going by. They're great to look at, but you wouldn't buy it on a daily basis to run it down the road in a snowstorm.
I realize where you're coming from, and I've traveled the interstate, and as you travel intersections, especially down in Florida, you see huge signs advertising products from there. My concern is the LED lighting, that it isn't so bright that it's going to affect, because we have another sign in town that it has affected a neighborhood. There's no residential really going to see this, I don't believe, but it is, that's the main thing, is the lighting on that LED sign.
We'll give that control to the city's direction to Acme Sign, so it doesn't get out of, you can have my phone number if there's an issue.
Well,
I mean, that's my
ordinance.
Commitment.
And we have an ordinance to follow,
so,
too.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
I
can see where you want it bigger to compete with other businesses. That whole corridor is going to change. It's going to go to 6-lane, 3-lane on each side eventually. And it's going to be a major thoroughfare much more than it is today. So in essence, I think you're ahead of the curve. It's just the lighting of the sign that really, and that's controlled by city ordinance.
The sign manufacturers actually make the signs to comply with DOT, and there's automatic dimming, which dims it down to the right brightness at night that conforms with what the city and what the DOT wants, and it's automatic. And I've been assured that nobody would go in and manipulate it, and I'm sure that they would, and I know that it's been a thorn in John's side, just like you're saying it's that you've heard about it on 18th Street. I know where the main culprit is. Mm-hmm. And I go up 18th Street, and we live out just outside of town, and I go up 18th Street, and it's too bright, and I don't understand it, because you notice that it's real bright, but it's too glaring that you can't read it anyway.
Well, my family started the first service station in Bettendorf, February 22nd, 1922, and we moved down to 14th and State, and we had a billboard advertising the Black Hawk Hotel and some other signs. You put that for the advertising company. And you needed signage to get where you wanted to go, because there wasn't any hotels really to speak of in Bettendorf at that time, and the hotel was in Davenport. But anyway, I can see where the future holds businesses to signs to get adequate.
Then you remember where the city service station was down there.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. And then the Maid Right, where Ross actually worked at, manager of before he opened his place.
The alley. Mm-hmm. Yep. Been there all my life.
I hate to kind of start admitting I'm that old.
I'm a little older.
A little bit.
Is there any other discussion,
Bob? Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Really, the existing sign right now is around 10 by 13. It's about 130 feet.
About 133 square feet.
Okay. The existing sign at the hotel that hasn't been taken down yet looks like it's twice that size. Is that what?
It's significantly bigger, yes.
Are those, when they had those up, I don't even recall. Did they have different ID signs? Were they for different buildings, or just
in on the top at first,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Bennigan's?
Yeah.
And there's another sign mm-hmm. that you can't see that there was a changeable copy underneath on that existing pole that you can't see that right.
It was the hotel and the restaurant.
Okay, the restaurant was down below, and where was that changeable sign?
What?
Where was that changeable sign on
it's still there, I believe, but you can't see it.
But it's down below. Okay.
Down below the Bennigan sign. That was a changeable letter sign, manual.
Mm-hmm. And there's no other changeable signs that have advertising on, along this corridor that I can recall. Old Chicago.
I think the old ones in the downtown did. Old Chicago has
have changeable advertising.
Yeah, manual changeable,
And mm-hmm. Old Chicago's down about high level for somebody that's at the stoplight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no, you're in a difficult location there. There's a bend right there. People are trying to merge, and they're not watching signage. And by the time they see you guys, you're past the exit. I completely understand that you're not, it's difficult to see. I don't.
Would it help to try to help make sure we don't want to have distracted drivers either? Do we go to an 8-second count? You say there's a 6 one, but I mean,
that's the standard DLT uses. I wrote the ordinance, we too'd what the DLT.
Honestly,
if that's their standard,
no trouble,
we thought it was appropriate.
I have no trouble with the intensity in the ordinance we have. I mean, we have it right now for, say, a 45-mile-per-hour zone, and that's a six-second interval. So, yeah, maybe something a little longer because it's faster speeds, but We've got this sign coming in at 344 square feet, a requested variance. We've got another one apparently coming in, eventually should be coming by us for 370 some square feet, maybe. What are, like, Old Chicago, what are those signs? Are they 300 and some square feet? Are we following any precedent there? Or
I don't believe Old Chicago is quite that big, but I don't know. I did not look that up before I came here. Just so you know, because of the hotel's lot width, coupled to their setback from Middle Road, by ordinance, they're probably going to be allowed up to 300 square feet.
Right.
So.
So it may or it may not need.
It may not need
a variance.
I mean, once we start talking and tweaking that sign, if they get it down to the 300 square foot, my guess is they're going to probably meet code with it.
You don't know what the future is going to be for the lodge either, as far as their future signage is with their new venture either. And then the Holiday Inn in Davenport there at the on the other side of the road, they may have a large sign too. So the whole interstate's going to change in signage.
Well, I think you said it best. This is going to be a major interstate when it's rebuilt. People are going to be very attracted to it from a business standpoint. They're going to want to advertise.
That's right.
One of the things, you know, when you talk about change and how everything's changing, you know how the gas price signs before all the time were the plastic numbers, and then a lot of the signs have the changeable plastic letters. One of the major companies in the United States, they didn't keep up with the industry as far as doing the LED stuff, and they're actually on their way out of business because they didn't keep up with the industry.
My problem is not necessarily being opposed to keeping up with the industry, and I'm not necessarily opposed to a message sign and I'm not necessarily opposed to any of this. However, this is the first case I think that we've had coming through here, and so we would be setting a precedent that, you know, we're going through a comprehensive plan. We're rewriting our comprehensive plan through here. There's a new, you know, new interstate coming through, and perhaps these items should be more rightly addressed at a zone planning and zoning level as opposed to being decided here. You know, perhaps things, you know, should change such that they're not based on sign height, but perhaps elevation above the highway. Perhaps they should be changed such that, you know, they're not based on the square footage of the building. But that's, I guess, where my discomfort is that, okay.
How do we handle that?
Yeah. We could be the beta test site. How to do it right. The bad part is they're ahead of the curve, and if you go to change, to change the ordinance, then,
well, then you
so they go 2 years and they're not making any money, and hopefully not. You have a vacant place that's on the interstate.
I don't want to present it that way.
Well, you're done. You might as well go home now.
No. Maybe that's the other. You've had some experiences that haven't been necessarily so good. I mean, we're willing to work some examples of what, I mean, as far as, you know, if it's too bright and we're set at the DOT limits and the city's limits and it's still too bright, you know, we're willing to cut it back. And maybe that's part of trying to work together with the city here. All right, if it's too bright, we'll commit to cut it back 20% to whatever the city requirements are. We're willing to work with trying to get it right. And until you get something up to see what it is, it's going to be pretty tough for even the zoning commission to say, well, this is what we want. Because they haven't seen it.
They haven't seen it.
You mean, so we need to pass the law before we... So we
can oh, my God.
We have to install the sign before we can
forever.
Make the ordinance.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, sir.
The ordinance states, and I'll go ahead and read it, no lighting shall be used in any way in connection with any sign unless it is of such low intensity or brilliance as to not cause glare or impair the vision of drivers of any motor vehicles or to otherwise interfere with any driver's operation of a motor vehicle. In no case shall any sign exceed a maximum of 5,000 candela per square meter in the daylight hours or a maximum of 500 candela per square meter during dusk to dawn hours. The above illumination measurement levels are not guaranteed level of brightness, only a maximum potential level of brightness. When citizens' complaints of a violation of this section have been confirmed by the zoning administrator, said sign shall have its illumination permanently reduced to satisfy compliance with this section as directed by the zoning administrator, regardless of the above maximum allowed standards. An appeal of the zoning administrator's decision regarding this section may be presented to the Bettendorf Board of Adjustment. So what that says,
what goes around comes around.
They get to start out at 5,000 day, 500 night. If we're not satisfied with it, they can be ordered to dim it even lower. And the zoning administrator is the final deciding factor on that. That's Bill. And if they don't like his decision, they got to come back before you.
Okay. I'd like to say one thing. The nice lady said something about a zoning ordinance where the overall height was measured off the traveled roadway, and I think that not in this case, but in the future, that would be a great thing to have in the ordinance, because you have places where there are
big
holes.
Right. Sure. Old Chicago sign is not that tall if you're driving at 55 miles per hour, which I only drive at 55 miles per hour.
At least in Bettendorf.
But it's, yeah. But it's, you know, I'm hearing that it's 60 feet tall. So, I mean, that's a difficulty.
And we did go through that with Brown Mackey, too.
Yes.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen,
okay,
ladies.
It's a difficult problem.
There's four things we're deciding here: setback, increased height, allowable square footage, and the increasing of the programmable portion. Is there any one of those that you want to make a comment on, or would you someone like to make a motion to approve or disapprove this request? Or they have any questions about any of the other things we haven't covered?
I just want to verify. So based on the size of the building, the Holiday Inn, they will probably be able to come in with a sign that's maybe this size
My guess is they're going to meet the 300-foot threshold.
Right, because it's based on
width of the lot and setback from roadway.
Okay. And should they come in with that size of sign, they can do exactly what they're asking to do here with a changeable message sign, changeable sign as well?
Yes, but the changeable portion without variance would only be 50 square feet.
So then they
but the overall, all of it added together could go up to 300 square feet.
Well, just to get one out of the way, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
We're going to do each of these. Can we do each of these separately?
Yes, we can vote on each one separately,
yes,
if you'd like.
Certainly.
I will make a motion to approve the
setback
variance to reduce the required sign setback from 20 feet to 10 feet for case number 14045.
Okay, there's been a motion on that. We want to vote on that then?
Second.
Okay, would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Next one is increased height. Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve the, where is it? To approve the variance to increase the height of an on-premises identification sign from 20 feet to 52 feet for case number 14045.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. The next is allowable square footage. Let's take that. You want it, Bryce?
May I ask another question?
Sure.
What is your time frame for installing these signs? What's your time frame for being open, finishing up?
We're shooting for July 12th, July 15th.
To be open?
Probably 110, 15 days from the time we start construction. It was an existing location. The sooner we get back open,
right.
The money
for a lot of contractors on that hotel job. I'd like to sell stuff too.
So without a calendar in front of me, that's going to be by your next meeting. He'll be open.
Mm-hmm. No. Pretty
close.
The 19th of July, you said?
12th
to 15th. 12th, okay.
But you want to be open. You want
to. They only have 2 days to provide everything goes smoothly and equipment, et cetera.
It's like shooting in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The ordinance states that it's 50 square feet. That's not based on, for the electronic portion, it's 50 square feet. No matter what, or was that based on a?
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're on a local roadway, it allows 50 square feet. If you're traveling on a state highway, it only allows for 50 square feet. Or if you're traveling on the interstate, it's only 50 is the maximum.
50 is just the max, and it's not based
regardless of where it's located within the city, there are speed limits involved, or the type of roadway.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do one more. I'm on a roll. I move we approve a variance to increase the allowable size of an on-premise identification sign from 125 square feet to 344 square feet.
Is there a second?
I guess I'll second, yep.
Bob, second. Roll call, Lisa.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. The next one is the increase in the programmable portion. Who would like to take that?
I want to make one more comment. So whatever we do here, I think we need to bring forward this to the city as an ordinance issue.
I've already made notes on some of the suggestions that you've given us, and I'll make sure you're
once we do this, then if we turn somebody else down, I just wanted on record that we need to look at this and, you know, figure something out, and this isn't necessarily setting a precedent.
You've given me the charge. I will do so.
A lot of this is based on location, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you brought up a lot of issues. Elevation above highway rather just from height of the pole, mm-hmm. speed of the area, traffic speed of the area involved, type of roadway that's involved, width of the right-of-ways that are involved. There's a lot of issues that have not been addressed.
It's not necessarily a fair comparison for a lot size like this as opposed to the next-door neighbor that's
sure.
a completely different animal.
Right.
And
I've made notes on all of those suggestions.
And the town, you know, it's just what I've seen or heard, they're not really fond of these electronic signs. You know,
they hate them.
Yeah, they.
I mean, might as well be honest with you. No,
so,
we receive a lot of complaints about
them. So if we okay that sign, in this location, you know, and going to the 150 square feet. Again, I think that's tantamount to an ordinance change, and so I have a difficulty approving that. But I see your issue. What is that, the minimum size of sign? I mean, is there no other? I know they come smaller, obviously, 50 square feet.
If it really went smaller, then you're going to have a hard time at
seeing it.
Say we're doing 55.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a hard time seeing it if you start getting that small. And that's why we presented this. If you like it bigger, but it just fits. We're trying to. And the window of viewing this is going to be a short shot. I mean, as I showed on the pictures, you're going to be pretty, for the most part, realistically, this is going to be seen by somebody that's not stopping. But they're going to stop the next time because they didn't realize we had this stuff.
This also is not in a residential area. And it's not somebody that's in town that's 25 miles an hour or 15 miles an hour on a. This is an interstate location. It isn't the same thing as a street, as a regular business street in town.
Right.
Would you say the sketch is to scale?
That sketch is to scale.
So
the measurements on it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just checking, making sure. So the lettering on here for the prices, that's supposed to be seen from the interstate at highway speeds.
That's 2 foot high letters, and that mm-hmm. sign is 7'6", I believe. And
that's because you have stacked.
I hate to say this, but 2'6" is a little bit small. In the 2 foot high letters is a little bit small. But in the pricing numeral, the next jump is from two foot to 4 foot. And when you go to 4 foot, that blows your 15 foot wide apart just for the pricing numerals.
I didn't quite follow.
Gas price signs are made up specifically. They're actually a little bit different than message signs. The numerals, the company that manufactures this, is manufactures these price signs nationwide.
The red and the green numbers,
mm-hmm.
those are either 2 feet,
right,
or there is no 3 feet, or no, there's no 2.5 feet. It goes
from 2 feet to four feet. Okay.
And then it really starts making.
Myself being comfortable for their part, a 3 foot or a 2.5 foot high pricing unit would probably be better. The only thing that we could say is you end up, you know, we have Illinois people over here in Iowa, where you have people, again, what they were talking about. A lot of times in town business, even I go to Davenport every day and I go through Bettendorf one direction and I come back the other direction. So if you see something in the daytime on your way to work or where you're going, usually your return trip home is the same way. And that gives them the opportunity that when they're a little bit closer, actually seeing the price, to pull off coming back. I think it alerts them to what they're doing.
I'm doing math here.
For the electronic portion?
The 10-foot portion.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I forgot it, I think. It's 15 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 by 15 is a 90 square foot.
Right.
7 by 15 is 105 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
8 by 15 is 122 square foot. 9 by 15 is 135 square foot. And then your 10 by 15, of course, is the 150.
Mm-hmm. And what's kind of strange about electronic message signs is the signs are made up by tiles of LEDs. So if you have 8 foot in height, it actually could be 8 foot three, or it could be 7 foot nine. The same thing with 6 foot. It varies just a little bit on the height, by the height of the tiles that they put together to make the sign. So it's actually a nominal size.
It's nearly.
Oh, we haven't had a motion on the 50.
We haven't had a motion yet because I'm being persistent.
Good number.
Anybody have a number for dominoes?
Yeah, my kids are calling me. One more question: we have these signs located. What about, for instance, the sign that is at Centra? They have the messaging sign. The ratio is it pretty much even, or?
Yes, we had a problem with that one when it first got programmed too.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
We had a problem,
but they
brought it into compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, that wasn't the owner. That was the problem. The sign company came in and.
Oh yeah.
Set it all up for him and left
it's
town.
Just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
My concern is the ratio. My concern is the blowback from doing it or to allowing a larger sign.
I think that's up to city staff to negotiate where they could go in different square footages to change the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to. Along interstate
but
versus
where we go
residential
is the question, because this is going to go on right now, and then the ordinance changes and it goes to a maximum of 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would submit that while I share your concerns, mm-hmm. about this, as I look at the size and shape of the sign, personally, I don't find the message part of it to be out of mm-hmm. proportion with the rest of the sign. Once you get to a sign that big, I think there's a certain proportion that you need to, for practical mm-hmm. reasons, mm-hmm. to read it, but also there's separation for the letters. If we're talking about letters that are 50% higher than what these are on the digits above, you got to have some separation. If you're going to have two lines of copy, you're not going to read it.
So that's really what they want, is two lines of copy, and that's.
I think so. I think
they're going to do.
Probably different things.
A picture of a 2 liter of Pepsi or something like that, and then they have the price over top of that.
And I mean, to give you an idea too, I mean, you know, we're going to be introducing new things. So when you think of a Big Ten mark, you traditionally think of, you know, gas and traditional items. And Coca-Cola in the bottle and chips and things like that. We're introducing new items that are brand-defining, you know, like freshly squeezed orange juice that we'll be producing on-site. And you would never have known at Big Ten Marts or a convenience store would even sell an item like that. So we want to be able to show an image of that with an orange and the cup and the price and be able to explain copy of that.
But you realize the difficulty is if we do this and do a 150-foot square foot sign, and then the ordinance comes back and says, okay, we're going to allow up to 100-foot square foot, you've just grandfathered yourself in just in the nick of time, and you know what I mean? Or do that, it there's a conflict there. That's just a term. That's
not yes, ma'am. Yeah, at the same time, we really tried to make the sign look, I mean, mm-hmm. visually and it does.
It looks fine. I'm just, if I'm the only one, I'm just going to suggest if I'm the only one talking, somebody else make a motion and we vote and see where we are.
I'd like to ask one more question. You have Big Ten marks all over. And others in Bettendorf, LeClaire, and so forth. Are you going to propose a similar sign of that for those businesses also?
This is this store is what we term as a model store. It's a brand builder of kind of redefining who we are and what we're about. So I'm not saying that we're going to go and ask for signs at all of our other stores, But this store is an opportunity to be able to project the new image that we want for our consumers, to really help educate consumers about what the Big Ten Mark brand is going to be for the future. And like I said, very food, proprietary food and beverage focused. So to give you an example, we're going to be having freshly prepared New York style deli quality salads and wraps and subs and things that are in no other store in the area that even compare to the quality and consistency of what we're going to be offering. And that's why we want to build more stores in the area, sure. But at the same time, we're looking at this as being able to help us change the brand perception. Because when you think of a convenience store, you're not thinking of a handcrafted gourmet salad or a freshly squeezed orange juice or, you know, fresh brewed coffee that is equivalent to, a coffee house quality. You're not thinking those things. And that's what we're using that list to help us be able to educate the consumer who doesn't know what that those items are in a big thing.
Well,
that's why I brought that up, because the staff might have to consider that ordinance or change or whatever, because we do have other stations in town. If they see that, they're going to come forth, and we don't have an ordinance to cover it. So,
again, this is an interstate.
It's an interstate corridor. That's
we understand that, but still have to make that precedent. You know, we are putting that precedent out there, and the city council and the planning and zoning should be making those types of decisions as to what kind of thing they want in this corridor. So I love Big Ten Mart, you know, I'll get gas there, I have no problem with that, and but I'm gonna throw something out there. Mm-hmm. And you perfect. Vote it up or down. Could I reword? Well,
you can pass anything up to what has been requested.
I will move that we approve a variance to increase the allowable size of the electronic programmable portion of an on-premise identification sign from 50 square feet to 100 square feet for case 140545.
I'll second that.
There's been a motion to increase the size from 50 square feet on the programmable side to 100 square feet. And there's been a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Let me say, the problem I have with this whole thing is that we're legislating things.
Yes. Yeah.
And we don't, it's like we're operating in a black box.
Exactly. We're five people.
I think the sign that they are proposing, you know, personally speaking, yeah, it's mm-hmm. nice, and I understand the things they want to do. It's sort of like it's so arbitrary, but
people in the entire city.
Yeah. The city needs to work on some new sign ordinances, unfortunately, to address some of these problems, because the world's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. We'll take that charge forward.
Yep, yes. I know you will.
I have a question for our sign vendor. Is it possible to erect the top two parts of this sign and either add to it later, if should the ordinance allow a larger bottom, or erect the top two without the signboard on a interim basis?
We're trying to get you through.
I'll go to a little bit of a story. I was over in Rock Island last night at a variance for something else, and they asked me, when you went up to the podium, you said you're supposed to say, promise to tell the truth. I said, I promise to tell the truth, so help me God. Now you're putting me in a hard position. Mm-hmm. Because I would have to say that, yes, that could be added afterwards.
Well, and we're not, I'm only asking that because we just voted on that input one.
And it's somewhat arbitrary.
And somewhat arbitrarily, because we don't want to legislate for the rest of the community. That's really, I think that What we're hearing here is that none of us have a serious issue with your sign the way you presented it, except for the fact that opens a door that we should not be opening. We don't, I think, I don't think any of us feel that we should be open.
One of the things that we were just discussing back and forth while you were doing the voter talking back and forth, we kind of have a two-thirds proportion, two-thirds height of the width. And then if you go to 100 square feet, what we end up doing is they wanted to get the look where it was the same width as the sign up above. They end up with 15 feet wide and 6'8" or something still. So then all of a sudden they're coming down and they're picture the orange or the picture of what they want to put on there.
It's smaller.
It gets altered and it doesn't. This is kind of the proportion wise anyway. I'm not saying that you have to say 10 by 15, but this proportion works real good with the advertising pictures and materials.
As you can tell, we have no problem with that. I mean, really the look of the sign, but we're in a sticky position. So we would love to be able to work something out, but we're in a time frame bind for you, and we're in a Bob said, a sort of we shouldn't be legislating from this board. So
yeah.
I don't
can
know
the sign that. Be built and placed there, the 10 by 15, but then only have the 50 square feet in it or delayed?
They voted for, I guess, 100 square feet.
Yeah, it's right now.
Right.
So it could be done, but you can't add on to the message sign. So in essence, if they were waiting for the ordinance to change, what they do is they put the top portion on with the Big Ten part, the BP, and the price sign. And then wait for the other and then add it on the bottom. Now, an ordinance takes how long, John?
That's going to take time. Realistically, it's going to be months.
Take a week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to take longer than you got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Acme's a very, very nice sign company, but I'm sure they're going to have some additional costs because they got to come back out.
Yep.
Again, work. I mean, mm-hmm.
It's harder to add the thing on the bottom after the other at the top part's up.
Well, anyhow, good luck, city.
The question was just based on, you know, looking for another way.
Yeah. You know. I think we understand.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay. And your case has been approved for 50 to 100 square feet on 14-45 at 999 Middle Road. Thank you. Is there a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We're adjourned.